you got your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 5. We're not going to spend a lot of time this morning. We're just going to concentrate on a couple of things here. Romans chapter 5. Father, we thank you today. Already you've spoken to us, Lord. You've already revealed yourself to us. We ask you to continue to do so, that you manifest yourself to us today in our lives, Father. Thank you for quick, rapid changes, Lord. Upward changes, good changes today in this place, Lord, in people's lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We can see a scripture here in Romans, the 5th chapter. We started a series last week called Reigning in Life. We'll pick up in verse 17. Where it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness," notice that it's a gift of righteousness, "shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Then verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Can I have an amen? Well, yeah, we dove into this last week, and I want to pick up where we left off last week. Something I noticed this morning as I was meditating on these couple of scriptures here. The word one, O-N-E, is used in these couple of verses 7 times. Say one.
One.
Okay. 7 times this word one was used. And we talked about last week how that although the Bible is 66 books and there's hundreds and hundreds of men and women that are listed in the Bible by name in the Bible, in 66 books in the Bible, there's only 2 people that the Bible really concentrates on, although there's many people listed. And number one, Adam, right? Number two, Jesus. The whole Bible is really about these 2 people, Adam and Jesus. Now, what is common to them? Now, we learn by repetition. I know when I was in first, second, third grade, you know, you learn the times tables and multiplication tables by repetition, right? 1 times 1, 2 times 2, and it's ingrained inside of you, going back to those days. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've had a few nightmares that I'm still in school. And I'm walking the hallways, and it's so vivid I can see my high school, and I'm walking in the hallways, and I'm thinking, I haven't graduated yet. And then you wake up and like, thank God that was a dream, you know? But see, these 2 men, Adam and Jesus, and made decisions that affected the entire human race. It says, for by one, verse 17, for by one man's offense, who's that? Adam. One man's offense, death reigned by one. So we saw last week again, just bear with me here, that Adam's decision to disobey God impacted the entire human race. Stop and think about that. It affected the entire human race. That disease called sin came out of Adam. We were all born out of Adam, and therefore we're born into the sin nature, you see. And so Adam's disobedience corrupted the whole human race. Now, sometimes people say, man, I can't wait to get a hold of Adam when I get to heaven. Put my fist up to him, you know, and say, dude, do you know the mess that you caused? I was thinking that one day, and you can't prove that it's not, but I believe that the Lord showed me. He said, Keith, if you were in the same position, you would have done the same thing. We can't blame Adam, okay? And the Lord said, you would have done the same thing. I mean, that just lifts you up, doesn't it? So we got one man here. The word one is used 7 times in these verses right here. One man disobeyed God. This is real simple right here. Named Adam, okay, Adam, blood of God. Committed sin, sold out to the devil, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan has blinded the minds of the world, of the unbelievers, the god of this world, small g. And the way that Satan became the god of this world and is because of Adam's transgression. Who is the original god ruler of this world? It was Adam. But see, Adam had an earth lease and he turned it over to the devil. Okay? And that's why you have catastrophe. That's why you have the curse. That's why you have the things that, disastrous things that take place in the earth. That's because of Adam's transgression. Well, let's not major on that. We know the curse, everything that involves the curse came out of Adam. But Jesus, we saw, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45 again. Are you ready, class? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. This will help you immensely to know this. It says, so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now notice the phrase first man, Adam, and last Adam. First Adam, last Adam. Who is he talking about here? Adam in the Garden of Eden and Jesus Christ. Okay? These two people made decisions that affected the entire human race. One for bad, one for good. One for the curse, one for the blessing. Okay? While you're right there, look at chapter 15 again and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay? Now, does everybody get that? Adam, the first Adam, right, made a decision, contaminated the whole human race. Jesus is called the last Adam. He passed the test that Adam failed. The first test the devil threw at Jesus was with food. Well, how did Adam in the Garden of Eden fail? Because he ate of the forbidden tree. Isn't it something how God said, all these trees in the garden, they're yours. But this one tree, that's the tithe, he said, that belongs to me. He said, you not eat of that. When you eat that tree, all the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. Now, Adam didn't kick over physically that day. As we say, kick the bucket. He didn't fall over dead instantly when he grabbed that fruit. So what did God mean when he said, the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die? Well, we know that there's more than, the Bible teaches us, there's more than one kind of death. We're so familiar and accustomed to physical death, which is the separation of your spirit from your body. Okay? When your spirit leaves your body, your flesh falls down just like a glove. Okay? Just like if you have a glove and you move your hand and that glove's wrapped around your hand, you know, whatever way you move your hand, the glove's going to move. It has no power of its own to do anything. But when you remove that glove and you set it down, that glove can't do anything. That's like your physical body. You remove your spirit out of your body, your spirit, let's just say it this way. Your body cannot live without your spirit, but your spirit can live without your body. Amen? And that's why when Christians, if they leave this earth, if they die, okay, it really is not, for the Christian, there is no such thing as death anyway. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be pleasant with the Lord, present with the Lord. I mean, the very second that your spirit leaves your body, guess what? You're right in the presence of Jesus. And I've known of people that have been there and back. Okay? And they don't want to come back. I'm telling you, any of your relatives and kin folks that have moved on to heaven, if they had a chance to come back, they would not come back in a split second. Because it's extreme peace, extreme of everything good you can ever imagine, all wrapped up in one place, heaven. Okay? Now, thank God we can experience heaven down here. Days of heaven on earth down here. Are you ready for that? I am. Some days of heaven on earth right now. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Any disease in heaven? No. Any poverty in heaven? No. Anybody standing on street corners in heaven begging for food? No. No. Nope. Jesus said, pray the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does anybody have tuberculosis in heaven? Does anybody have any disease in heaven? No. No. So it simplifies things. Even a first grader could get that. Well, if there's no sickness in heaven, then that must mean it's the will of God that there be no sickness on this earth, at least for me. Okay? That's why we don't have to be afraid of this and afraid of that and Ebola and all these other kind of things. Amen? Because the blessing is stronger than the curse. Amen. Righteousness is more powerful than sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where sickness abounds, health does much more abound. God is always, 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 always more powerful than anything the devil could throw at you. Always remember that. He is outnumbered by far. Okay? Are you with me now? So the whole Bible is about two people, Adam in the Garden of Eden and then Jesus Christ. Both of them made decisions that infected and impacted the whole entire human race. For in Adam all die, but even those in Christ Jesus shall be made alive. Now, it says in that verse that God wants us to reign, R-E-I-G-N, in this life. Could you go over to the Amplified, brother, in Romans 5:17? I just want to show you this here. For because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one. Much more, surely those who have received, notice this, receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and notice this, the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself. Notice, here's this phrase right here. Look at this. Reign as kings in life through one man. One man. Say one man. One man. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay? What you didn't get in your first birth, you can get in your second birth. We all have deficiencies. Okay? And a lot of people are very familiar with what they didn't get. Okay? I saw a bumper sticker, and of course it was a mockery to God, you know. And it said this. Many years ago I saw it, and it said, you've probably seen it too. It says, I was born okay the first time. Did you ever see that? Oh, what does that mean? That means mockery of the new birth, being born again. Okay? In other words, hey, I'm okay. But if they realized the mess that they were really in, they would welcome the new birth. Praise God. See, there's things run in families. Okay, we know that in the natural, there's, if you look at certain traits and certain disease and stuff, people say, well, this runs in my family, you know, back problems run in my family, heart problems run in my family, high blood pressure runs in my family, you know. And what they're identifying, now hear me, really, don't fall asleep on me here. Pinch yourself, okay? All right? What you didn't get in your first birth, you already got it in your second birth. And you don't want to identify with your first birth, which came out of Adam. You identify with your second birth, the new birth. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, if you go to get a medical exam, a few years ago I had a medical exam, and they ask you a series of questions. And they'll say, and you have to check off all these boxes and everything, you know, does this run in your family? Did your dad ever have this problem? Did your mother have this problem? You know, and they're looking for a hereditary type problem. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so they can help them better do what they're supposed to do. And they're doing their job. They're doing the best thing that they can. We understand that that's all natural thinking from the natural standpoint. But here's the thing you have to realize is this. That when you got born again, you changed families. Amen. Amen. Amen? You changed families. There are certain, now all of us, no matter how good your family is or how great your family was, your mother and your dad, or pros and cons, there are still deficiencies in your family. Okay? There was deficiencies. All right? What do you do with those deficiencies? People say, well, that's been in my family for 5 generations or 10 generations, you know. And it's usually a negative thing. It's not a positive thing. What we have to do is we have to stop and say, wait a minute, which family am I a part of? I'm of the family of God. If I had heart problems that ran on my dad's side of the family, there were heart problems, okay? But you're looking at a man that will never have a heart problem, okay? I don't say that braggingly or braggadocious, as they say. I say that with all confidence that you know, as great as my earthly father was, he's in heaven now. Okay? I identify with my second birth. Father God, Jesus is my elder brother. I'm in the family of God. And it says, they which receive the abundance of grace. So we're talking about, how do we reign in this life? Here's the first thing we want to identify with this. Number one, identify with your second birth. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's why you can see sometimes, that, you know, the devil works on ignorance. You know that. And where there's ignorance, the Bible says, my people, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he went on to say, because they rejected knowledge, they really rejected him. So there's knowledge, like for example, this morning, there's Bible knowledge that's coming forward this morning that's meant to change you from the inside out, to help you. Praise God. And when you understand the power of the new birth, let me give you an example. I was talking one day to, I went into a hospital to visit a lady, the church that we were associate pastors in when we lived out of state. And I got a note on my desk to go visit this lady in the hospital. Didn't know what the problem was. I knew it was physical, you know. And so Lynn and I, we jumped in our car. This before we had any kids. This was back in 1984, right around that time. And we went to this hospital and then close by where we lived and found out the room that she was in. We went into the room. Now, I had no idea what the problem was. I knew it was a physical thing. She's in the hospital. We walk into this room, and there's a lady that's in this contraption I'd never had seen before. And this bed would, she was basically nailed down, all her legs, her arms, everything. She couldn't move but basically her eyeballs. She had really bad rheumatoid arthritis, and the bed would shift. You know what I'm saying? It would move her up. It would rotate her, in other words. So this kind of freaked me out because I never saw this before, you know. I'm just pretty young, green, new at doing this, you know. And we're talking with her, and she says, Pastor, I've got a host of problems. I've got this problem, that problem. And, you know, the main thing is crippling arthritis, okay. And I'm telling you, from the natural standpoint, you felt helpless. You walk into a room like that, and you see them in that contraption and all those things that her body's attached to. You felt, literally in the natural, you felt helpless. But when I went into that room, before I went into that room, and while I was in that room, I'm having a conversation with the Lord in here. Because my mind is telling me, this thing's too far gone. She's gonna die like this, okay? But I had some inside information, okay? Do you want some inside information? Come here a little closer, I'll tell you. You want some inside information? Well, what is that? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, no, that's inside information. See, when we treat the Bible like, oh, okay, I've heard that before. So, if you treat the Bible like that, you ain't going to see any power. If you look at just another book, you know. So, John said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's just a historical fact. He wrote that down. It better mean more to us than what's just written on the page. Greater is he. Amen? And so, I'm telling you, it was like stepping out on the water. I just stepped out over that aching void of nothingness, and I just stepped out there on the limb and put myself out there. Didn't have any goosebumps, no feelings whatsoever. And I said, ma'am, and I had no, that it was an unconscious leading, but I said, ma'am, the Lord wants to set you free today. And these thoughts are racing through my mind. You're just getting her hopes up, and she's going to fall right back down. You're just getting her hopes up for nothing. Have you ever been there before? But I said, in my mind, I'm going to shut up, devil. This woman needs the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's a revelation that we have to come to. You're not the healer. Amen. That takes a load of pressure off you. When you realize people call me with all kinds of stuff. I am not the deliverer. I'm not the healer. I'm not the provider. But I know who is. I was talking to someone way back, you know, and they had some serious financial issues, you know. And you could feel the tension and the sadness and the sorrow in their voice, just, you know. And I know what that's like. And I said, ma'am, I said, I can tell you one thing. I'm not the provider, but I know who is. Okay? And if you will look to him, he has it all. He has it all. And I was able to get this person to shift their thinking and to realize that man's not your provider. God's your provider. Okay? And it helped this person immensely. Amen? Well, that's the same principle that when I went into that room, it takes a lot of pressure off you. Amen? I'm so glad that I don't have to stand up and perform before everybody and jump through the hoop. Because in Keith Eggert, in my natural, I'm Zippo, nothing. Okay? In the natural, I have nothing to give. But I know who does. And I'm leaning on him with every fiber of my being to the best of my knowledge, because it's him that can help you. It's him that can help us. Man will let you down. People can let you down. You'll let your own self down. You'll look in the mirror and say, doggone it, you could have did better than that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You can even let yourself down. Say, why did you do that? I don't know. Because your flesh is like a spoiled child sometimes, you know? Just wants to have a big, fat pity party. Amen? But you pass those opportunities. I'm telling you, you pass those opportunities up to have pity parties. You pass it up. Amen? 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 Because let me tell you something. Demons and devils are attracted to that. You know how sharks are attracted to blood in the water? Demon spirits are attracted to self-pity. I wish I had time, but you should see some of the examples in the Bible of leaders. Saul, King Saul, was one that was very sorrowful. He became full of self-pity. Look at what it turned him into, a monster. Unbelievable. Try to pin David to a wall with his spear, and David was his best friend. David was working for him, not against him. But see, it started twisting his mind because he felt sorry for himself. Never allow yourself. I don't know why this is what the Lord keeps saying today. It's not even in my notes. Okay? But don't allow yourself to have any pity parties for any reason whatsoever. Is that a deal? You will be so much better off. Take responsibility where you need to take responsibility. And quit. We don't want to have do the blame game, you know, and blame everybody else for my problems. If it wasn't for what they did, my life wouldn't be so miserable. Okay? Listen, nobody can control your joy except you. Okay? Listen, I love my wife. I married my best friend. Amen? But you know, there's times we let each other down. I'm not talking about adultery or things like that. You understand that? I'm happily married. We're blessed. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to give you that impression. But in the natural, we can all let people down. We can let each other down. But there's something far greater that's in our lives and in our family than just me and her. It's God. It's the God factor. And I'm telling you, you can be a single parent. You can be this or that, and you're looking at the deficiencies. I was reading one time where Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, "I'm, you know, remember the faith," he said, "that was in your grandmother." And then he said, "the faith that was in your mother." And he said, "that same faith is on the inside of you, Timothy." I was reading that one time, and the Holy Ghost said, "notice I didn't say anything about his dad. There was nothing in there about his dad." And I thought, I never knew that before. I never saw that before. Paul said, your grandmother, Timothy, your mother, they were full of faith. That same spirit that's on the inside of you. He said nothing about his dad. Okay? So there can be deficiencies in the natural, but what you didn't get in your first birth, you can get up in your second birth. Amen? Because, you know, our flesh loves to make excuses why we can't. Why I can't do this, why I can't do that. I don't have enough money to do this. Amen? You ever notice when the Lord asks you to do something, He doesn't ask you how much money you got in your bank account? Amen? Because our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It's of God who's made us able ministers of the gospel, the Bible says. Praise God. Now, getting back to that woman in the hospital, I want to just leave her laying on the bed right there. I want to get her off the bed here for a second. So here she's in these contraptions. And I mean, maybe you've seen that before, you know, but I'd never seen that before. And it was just freaky looking to me, you know. And she was in serious condition. All she could move was her eyeballs and her tongue. That was it. And talk to us. So I said, ma'am, Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. And I'm saying this, I'm thinking, boy, I sure wish I felt something right now. I wish I had some kind of goosebump from heaven or something, you know. I didn't feel anything. But we had the name of Jesus. We had the, and you have, listen, you have the name of Jesus. You have the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't need some special goosebump or some feeling before you step out and use it. Okay? That's what faith is all about. You step out and you do it, bless God, regardless of what you feel or don't feel. So we laid hands on her and we prayed for her in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then we walked out, looked like nothing happened, you know. Well, 1 week later, say 1 week later.
1 week later.
I'm in a midweek Wednesday night church service at the church. There's a couple of hundred people there. And song leader got up, did the worship. Pastor got up, dismissed the group. There was different groups, and we had one of the groups that we shared was with new Christians. So we'd have a class during the midweek service after worship. So we'd all march back, you know, and some of the new believers, they would all go with us. I'm walking back there in the middle aisle, and some lady reaches out, and she hits me in the arm. She goes, "Hey, Pastor Keith." And I looked at her. I didn't know who she was. And as she could tell, I didn't know who she was. She was all dressed up and fixed up and everything, you know. And she goes, "Don't you know who I am?" I go, "No." She goes, "I'm the lady you prayed for in the hospital last week." And I said, "Oh." And she goes, it just sends chills up my spine when I think about it. She goes, "God raised me up." She goes, "There's no arthritis. Nothing's wrong with me. The doctors are baffled." She walked out of the hospital completely healed. And she said this. She said, "Not only that," she goes, "I didn't tell you this, but I was addicted to cigarettes." She goes, "I smoked packs a day." Not pack, packs a day. She says, "I was instantly set free, and I don't have any more craving to smoke anymore. I am delivered."
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Well, this all happened within a matter of a couple of minutes here. I'm walking back. We have business to take care of, you know. And I'm thinking, if I would have based what happened there on my physical feeling, I would have ran from that hospital. Okay? Now, I think it's important that I share some of this stuff sometimes because you're going to have there's going to be this mental battle coming against you that you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough word. You don't have what it takes. Okay? Well, the pastor does and the evangelist does, but little old you don't have what it takes. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You have enough power on the inside of you to wipe the devil off the planet. Okay? You have enough power in the Word on the inside of you. All you need to know is one scripture that can set people free. That's it. That's it. Isn't this good news?
Amen.
So you don't have to lay around waiting for some special feeling or some special anointing. Now, those things can come. But don't wait for that. You do what, if God opens up a situation where you can pray for someone that's sick, you know, by all means. You say, "Well, brother, I've got something wrong with my body, so I don't know if I should be praying for somebody if I'm not well in my body yet." Well, here's the answer for that. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed.
Amen.
That'll load your barrel up right there. Amen. That's James. He says, "Pray one for another that you might be healed." So if you need healed, go pray for someone else that needs healing. What are you doing? You're sowing healing, you reap healing. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. It's the most wonderful life that there is. This Christian life. If Christianity is boring, we're not doing it right. Amen? Every single day is an opportunity. You have God distributed 24 hours to each person evenly divided. Every one of us have 24 hours a day, right? Well, you can squander that time, waste that time, or you can utilize that time as an opportunity to be an extension of Jesus in the earth today. And you know what? You don't have to be perfect to qualify. All right, none of us in this room that's perfect in the flesh yet. Are you with me? None of us are perfect in the flesh. But let me tell you something. If God waited for you and me to be totally perfect in the flesh before He used us, none of us would ever be used. Amen? Oh, brasitima rakatalaha. Glory be to God. I see us starting to step out on the waters. Whereas unbelief is staring you down saying, you can't do that. Don't you dare tread on that water. No, no, you can. I was thinking about this. Jesus got in the boat with His disciples. Okay? So there's 13 in a boat, right? 12 plus 1, 13, Jesus. And He says, let us go over. Let us pass to the other side. It's good scripture to claim when you get on an airplane. Lay your hands on that piece of metal when you walk on there and that runway, and you say, let us pass over to the other side. And Jesus fully meant what He said, and He said what He meant. And so they get in the boat. They're heading to the other side. Everything's good up to this point. Okay? But all of a sudden, they hit some turbulence. Amen? The oxygen mask falls out of the ceiling. No, I'm just kidding. You know, life preserver under the seat. No. But they, you know how that is. It's always interesting to watch people's expression when they do that because they've been through it a million times. Like, you know. But when you need it, you need it. What was that woman saying? It's too late now, buddy. I'm just playing with you. But where was I going with that? Yeah, Jesus, He said, let us pass over to the other side. All right. The will of God is being declared, right? The will of God is now we're going from this point of the shoreline to the next point of the shoreline, and we're going to go over unhindered. Let us pass over to the other side. Notice Jesus didn't say, let us try to pass over. Let's endeavor to do this. He said, no, let us go to the other side. It's the same wording that's used in the book of Genesis. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Amen? When Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, that's the same authority that God said, let us make man in our image in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis. So what happens? They get out there and all of a sudden there is a hurricane proportion wind that the devil stirs up. Whew. You remember the story. We don't want to turn into it because of time, but all of a sudden, waves are beating against the ship and the water's coming into the ship and the disciples are trying to just bail out. They don't have enough time. There's more water coming in than they can get out. But there's one problem. Jesus is in the boat and He's in the back of the boat sleeping on a pillow. Just picture this in your mind. Jesus of Nazareth is in their boat and they're freaking out. I've done that myself. Have you? Man, we're freaked out about something. We're all upset about something. We're worried about something. You don't know, not only do you have Jesus in your boat, He's in your heart. He's inside this body. It doesn't get any better than that. Amen? Here's the disciples. They started to reason this thing out. And they went over. Now, Jesus, how many of you could sleep through a hurricane? Picture the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. He's in the back of the boat. He's sleeping on a pillow in a hurricane proportion storm. The disciples think, we're going under. This is it. This is the end of Jesus' evangelistic committee. This is it. Okay? So they run back there to the back of the boat. It's probably about as long as this room. And they shook Him and they woke Him up. Now here's what they said. Master, carest thou not, that's the King James, that we perish? And that sounds all sweet and kind and a real New England type, you know, English. But let me paraphrase that. Jesus, we're about to die. Don't you give a rip? That's what they were saying. King James says a little nicer than that, but that's exactly what they were saying. They are freaking out. They're overcome with fear because they're about to go under. They think they're about to go under. Okay? Jesus stood up, wiped his eyes off, and he spoke to the storm. Oh, wait a minute. He talked to the wind and the waves? Yeah. Yeah, but Pastor, that's Jesus. He could do that. Okay? Then why did he rebuke his disciples for not doing the same thing? He rebuked them for their fear. He goes, why are you so fearful? They were full of fear. Are you with me now? They were full of fear, and they began to question God. Now, this is human nature here. Human nature will say when the pressure's on, you know what the devil will try to think? He'll tell you in your mind, you know, if God really cared for you, you wouldn't be going through this right now. Are you with me? That's exactly what was going through their minds. You know, if God really cared for you, you wouldn't be going through this right now. That storm wouldn't even happen if God really cared for you. That's how the devil works. We're exposing the devil right now. Do you understand that? You're about to have the best week you ever had in your life right now. I'm telling you right now. You get a hold of this? They could have let self-pity in. That's what started to happen. They let, Lord, you don't care. We're about to go under. That's what they were saying. That's what they were believing. But was that Jesus? Is that what Jesus thought? No. He stood up and he said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Well, it says there was a great storm. Then there was a great calm. But how did Jesus do that? With this word right here. With his mouth. He said, peace be still. Shalom. And they stopped and they thought, wow, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Okay? Now, we don't want to just put Jesus, yes, he is the Son of God. He is the only Savior of the world. But see, Jesus Christ didn't say, now guys, don't try this at home. This could be dangerous. He was showing them how to function, how to operate with the spoken word. Okay? See, they literally thought they were going to die. And number two, they thought, Jesus, you don't care for us. You don't give a rip. We're going under. You don't care. Okay? I know I keep going over this, but I'm just feeling compelled to do so. Amen? You have to get those thoughts out of your head that God doesn't care for you. He does care for you. Amen? Amen? He cares for you enough right now that he's communicating to you right now. He's talking to you right now. You don't have to send some angel through the wall to make you realize this word works. He sent me today. Amen? See, God uses people to communicate the simplicity of the gospel. And if we believe that and we receive that. Well, see, you're looking at a guy that used to major in pity parties. Now, I didn't know I was even doing it. I was ignorant of it. And when God showed me what I was involved with, it looked so ugly to me because it's pride. Do you know worry is pride? Now, just stay with me here. Did you know that worry is pride? See, we often think of worry as the guy that struts down the hallway that really, you know, just has that look about him, you know what I'm saying? Like in high school, remember that? I said, man, they're so full of pride, that football player, that whatever, you know. They're just so full of pride and everything, you know, and got a big ego and all this kind of stuff. Yes, that's pride, but there's another more subtle form of pride that's just as dangerous, and it's called worry. Worry and fear are rooted in pride. I bet you didn't know that till today, huh? You know why? Because it's saying, God, you ain't big enough to take care of this mess at home. You're not big enough to take care of this financial burden. You're not big enough to take care of this child or this husband or this wife. You're not big enough. So what do? You take it in You worry about it. You lose sleep. You lose hair. And God knows we need all we can get. Is this helping anybody this morning? God doesn't want you worried. Child of God, listen to me. I have to stand up on the chair. I will. God does not want you or me fearful or worrying about our lives for any reason. Because when I'm afraid, let's just look at it like this. If I'm afraid and I'm worrying, I'm saying, God, you are not big enough to fix this problem that I'm involved with right now. So you take it upon yourself. You don't even need fingernail clippers anymore. Because your teeth are taking care of that. You understand that? Say no fear.
No fear.
No worry.
No worry.
I'm not going to allow it
anymore
in my life.
My life.
Praise God. Now listen, there might be 9 reasons why you should be afraid, but they're all wrong. Every single one of them. Now I can talk from a little bit of experience because I've been down this thing a few years. And I faced some insurmountable things at times. And I'm telling you, in the natural, how in the world are you going to get out of this situation or this situation, you know? I don't have time to go into detail. But I'm telling you, your mind can, your understanding, your intellect can get in there. Oh, well, what about this? And what the what is, the what is, the what is? What about this? What about that? And you just have to tell yourself, you know what? Trust God. Well, needless to say, when the disciples were in the boat, when Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, what happened? They made it to the other side. And I'm here to tell you today, are you ready? You are going to the other side.
Amen.
You're going to the other side.
Amen.
No, I didn't say you're going to heaven. That's not what I mean. When I say you're going to the other side, that means you're going to your victory point.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Listen, Jesus Christ died a horrible death, paid a huge price for you and me so that we could walk free from a lot of this mess down here.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we've been redeemed, you know?
Amen.
And if we're looking to Jesus and we're looking to Him, listen, you can start talking to obstacles in your life. I would really encourage you to start doing that. I know some while back what Chris shared this morning, but he was talking about some other situation that he had. He just started talking. Remember that? He started talking to, started calling forth things. And I could tell he was new at it. We were at the men's Bible study, and he was, I could tell, it was so cool because it was the first time I think he started doing this. He said, I started calling money in. And what happened? An unexpected check came in, didn't it?
Amen.
Remember that, brother? Okay. Well, he probably felt a little nervous, a little apprehensive about doing that. I don't know. But there's always a first time for everything. And then you realize, you know what? This works. This works. Amen? You say, money, come to me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then you walk away. And you enjoy your day. Amen? And you're having problems at home. You say, when no one's there, you go into that household or wherever you're. You say, peace be still. Peace in Jesus' name. Upon this situation. And you begin to talk like the Bible says, reigning in life as by one, Jesus Christ. You start to rule and you start to reign. The Bible says where the word of the king is, there is authority and there's power. Do you know that? And I think it's Ecclesiastes. It says where the word of the king is, there is power. Guess what? You are a king and a priest. Aren't you glad that you didn't come to church today to hear bad news?
Amen.
You could have got that anywhere. But I'm telling you, you're coming here. You're going to get bombarded with good news. Because it's the gospel, the good news, that sets us free, that liberates us, that causes us to rise up. Hallelujah. This will make a Baptist boy want to shout. Oh, yes, 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 yes. We went all over the place here today. That's okay. We got next week. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. It's always better when I get off the notes anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I believe today that the essence, the culmination, the way I see it is every time that we come to church, there is a pinnacle, there is a climax, there is a place where God brings us to a point of decision where we say, okay, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. And I believe that what that is today is to say, no more fear, no more worry. I will not tolerate it in my life. Amen? Satan's a bully. When I was a kid, I remember there's this other kid that was in our neighborhood. And he was an absolute bully. And I remember one time I was jogging actually. And I was almost at my house. I was just a teenager at the time. And I'd seen this kid bully kids, I mean, all over the school, me included, you know. And he was in the passenger side of a car. He leaned out the window and he spit at me. And I saw his face. I knew who he was. Amen. And I'm telling you, that thing just put me over the edge. I don't care how big he was, how big, stronger he looked, or how big his muscles were. I said, that is enough. And I remember I walked in to a gym class one day, and I walked into the locker room, and I body slammed that kid against the wall. Now, I wasn't saved then, but, you know. But let me tell you, the kid was bigger than I was. He was stronger than I was in the natural. But I said, if someone doesn't stop this guy, he's going to keep doing this to countless people. You know, he's just bullying people. He'd even do it to girls, you know. At least pick on someone your own size, for Pete's sake. And I rammed him up against the locker. Boom! I still remember that sound. It sounded so good to me. You know what? He never did one other thing for me, man. Amen. But I'm convinced had I not have done something that day, he would have continued to do the tormenting, not only to myself, but to other people. Okay? Now, Satan's a bully. And he'll try to bully you around, okay? But he's no match for you because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Boy, start getting some volume in your voice. Do it alone. Get in your car. Get in your house. I'm telling you, you get out there and you say, whatever God tells you to say, you speak it boldly out loud. Amen? And just drive that rat out of your house.
Amen.
Okay? Say, I've put up with you long enough. That's it. I'm drawing the line in the sand. This is it. Okay? And when I smashed him up against the locker, just like, boom, you know, that was the last time I ever had to deal with him again. It was a righteous cause. Amen? And that's the way we have to be with the enemy sometimes. The only way, how do you body slam the devil? I'll talk about that next Sunday when you come back. Okay? You do with the Word of God. That's how you destroy the devil. Not with this fist, not with this gun. How do you deal with the devil? Scriptures in your mouth, the Word, the sword of the Spirit. That's how you come against him. When you come against him, he has to stop. Okay? Now, before we close with the offering this morning, I want you to say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father,
I thank you
for the boldness
of the Holy Ghost.
I'm asking you right now
to
fill me
with
more boldness,
to stand up
against all adversity.
Thank you, Lord,
that I'll speak the word
with
boldness
more than ever before.
Your anointing
and your grace
is in me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that. Do you? It's scriptural to actually pray for boldness. Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So, we all need that. Boldness. Not arrogance, boldness. Strong. Boldness is nothing more than strong confidence in God. He's got your back. Oh, sister and brother, God has your back. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall rule and reign in this life. We're going to get more into the details of how that to walk that out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you would like an envelope for your giving, just go ahead and slip your hand. Praise God. Every year we go to the ocean. There's a restaurant at the beach called Sharky's. It's all themed around sharks and stuff like that, you know. And their slogan is, it's feeding time. F-E-D-I-N. It's feeding time. Amen. Guess what today was? Feeding time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The devil's going to be sorry he ever messed with you. I'm telling you, he's going to be sorry he ever even messed with you or your kids or whatever it belongs to you. He's going to be sorry he ever even messed with you. Praise God. I feel it in my bones, I'm telling you. Just a righteous anger in a good way. Amen? We're not mad at people. We're mad at what the enemy's tried to do. He's a liar. And we win, praise God. Amen.